Hi, I'm Kendra Corman, the host of Imperfect Marketing. If you're a solopreneur, small business owner, or marketer, you know marketing is far from a perfect science. And that's why this podcast is called Imperfect Marketing. Here you will hear from marketing experts and successful business owners about their marketing tips and, of course, their lessons learned along the way.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Imperfect Marketing. I'm your host, Kendra Corman, and today I am joined by Philippa Games and owners and marketing executives of small to medium-sized companies hire her to find actionable insights in their digital analytics. She makes recommendations to grow their business and reduce wasted spending because so many people are missing these hidden gems. She has over 20 years of experience in translating the metrics into creative ideas that move businesses forward. She creates effective, data-driven digital strategies designed to achieve goals and maximize return on investment, and all in understandable English, not techie jargon, which we know is really important. Thanks so much for joining me today. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Kendra. Good morning.
Good morning. Okay. So let's jump into data analytics, right? Let's start with why it's important. Can you give me three examples where using analytics has made a difference to businesses so that the people listening and watching understand why they should be looking?
You know, the point of looking at website analytics or Facebook ad analytics or whatever is that you're going to find out stuff that you can't tell just by looking at the website. And so from that, you can make decisions about what to do with your business, how to change your strategy, stopping spending money on advertising, for example, that isn't effective. I mean, let's say you're doing pay-per-click advertising and people are clicking through to your website and you know your conversion rate, which is great. But what about all the people that don't convert? One of the things you can look for, you know, is there a particular sticking point, right? Is there a specific landing page that isn't working, the first page that people see, right, that isn't working and people are leaving and they're not doing what you want? So you can look for places where maybe you're spending money that you shouldn't be spending. And you can also look for opportunities to leverage what you have more effectively. So, I mean, this is a podcast. Lots of people host podcasts these days, and there are podcast websites, right? And one of the things that I think we can say is that a lot of podcast websites have episode pages. And as you make new episodes, you put that episode at the top because it's the newest, and then all the others start moving down the page. Which means that after not very long, you've got a load of podcasts way down a long page that people never see, because one of the things you can tell in analytics is how far they scroll, right? Which means, and I would imagine that most of those podcasts still have amazing content. I mean, the content is still good and worth listening to. Mm-hmm. And yet maybe people don't know it's there. So, you know, what do you do about that? And I mean, you know, there are different answers. You could use hashtags and categories. You could make category pages or whatever. But the point is it something that's occurred to you as the website owner? So there's ways to think about what do I have that I'm not making the most of? And then there's also sometimes ways to find out entirely new business opportunities, which I've also been able to do with clients. I've worked with several B2B companies where for some reason, like their SEO is really, really good. And so they're attracting a load of customer visitors who are not their target market. But in some cases, we've been able to find a sort of really fairly self-fulfilling, either intellectual, you know, content like ebooks and things that you can sell. You know, they don't have to be free. Or even in one case, an entirely new sideline of a little e-commerce store that just sold the things that company made in consumer bite-sized packages as opposed to in industrial pack levels. But thinking about who you can see is coming to the site and whether or not And obviously, that wouldn't be worth doing in all cases. But in this particular case, it just made a little sideline that really made a nice amount of money on the side. So, you know, there's lots of different ways that you can get insights from analytics to do things more effectively.
Yeah, I'm guilty just as much as the next person of not looking enough at the analytics. And sometimes there's things that are broken that you just don't realize. I was working on hiring a VA recently, and she went through my website and she's like, "Hey, on your homepage, I found 4 links that don't work." Oh yeah, because I got rid of them. And she's like, "Oh my gosh, I was looking at your resources pages and you have so much great stuff." And I'm like, "Yes. And 7 of the most recent things aren't on there." So it's there's so much to keep track of that analytics can help you prioritize what that is and what that looks like. Because you just never know, right? And you forget about things. And I think we forget to look at our pages a lot because we're too busy doing the other stuff that runs our businesses, right?
And, you know, it's really amazing. I've never understood how this happens in the universe, but how a perfectly well-functioning website suddenly develops all these gremlins, you know, like suddenly there's a link broken or something. And, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, obviously there's a reason for it, but it's just that it's so far out of our consciousness.
It is.
And if it's any comfort, it happens to all of us.
All of us. Every single one of us, even the ones of us who are going to like meet with you and yell at you and say, "You've got all these broken links." Well, right. Pot kettle. Okay. So, all right. So let's talk a little bit about where do we start? Because there's Google Analytics and then there's engagement and then there's, you know, visits per page and then there's bounce metrics and all these other things and numbers around. Where do people start?
Yeah, it's a great question because the honest truth is whatever you're looking at, if you're not a geek, a total geek, it's completely overwhelming. And the number of different reports and charts and what have you can get is ridiculous. And where do you start? So the answer is before you do anything with analytics, you've got to know what you're trying to do. And that's a business question. It's not an analytics question. So when I work with a client, I mean, that's going to be my first question is, okay, let's walk through your website or whatever it is you're doing in digital marketing and figure out what are we trying to do here? What do we want visitors to do as a result of seeing this content or this call to action or whatever it is? And not just overall, but on each page of the website or at least on each kind of section, because that's what you're going to end up measuring because you want to know, okay, here's what we're trying to do. Well, is it working? And are we doing it effectively? And could we be doing more of the good stuff and less of the bad stuff? But starting out with the strategies and a lot of people, you know, it's very tempting to jump into digital marketing. How are we going to, our Facebook visitors convert at X percent? You want to be able to say our Facebook visitors from this campaign were a lot more useful or qualified, if you like, than from this campaign. So what was the difference? Right. And so we can do more of the one that worked.
And I think one of the key things that you're saying that I'm going to take a second to bring back up and repeat here is strategy. I feel like April is strategy month on Imperfect Marketing Podcast because my last guest last week also talked about strategy and advertising and how important that is. Yeah, there's a lot of metrics that are great, but if they're not moving you closer to your goals, then who cares, right? You got to know what you're trying to do. I remember I had a client that was like all upset because his landing page had 100% bounce rate. And I'm like, that's good because we weren't sending people to a thank you page. So it was supposed to have 100% bounce rate because we had everything embedded inside the page. If it wasn't 100% bounce rate, we were going to be really worried. So you have to think again about what it is that you're looking for and really what you want to know. Because I think a lot of people pick a lot of analytics to look at, but then they don't know what to do with them next. And so if you're looking at your bounce rate and you're all upset because it's going up, but the way you designed the landing page means that it should go up, You know, again, you've got to really think about that and what action you're going to take because of that. So if your team page is the number one most visited page on your site, should you be surfacing that or should you be putting that someplace else to drive traffic for other things? I mean, there's a million and a half ways to look at it, but I think one of the questions I always ask my clients who want to track data is, what are you going to do with the information you find out? Because if you can't take action on it, then what's the point, right?
Right.
So speaking of what's important, what are the most important metrics that most people should be following? I mean, we know that it factors in strategy and goals and all that fun stuff, but just for the people listening, if there's things that they should be watching, what are those things?
Yeah, you know, I have this saying that I love about consultants like me. You know, I like to say that when you hire a consultant, are you a consultant? I mean, you pay us a lot of money. If we're really lucky, you take us out to a really nice lunch. And then you ask us any question you like, and we say, it depends.
Always, right?
Always
right. Depends.
because it looks like it's not, and test it, because until you test it, you don't know if you've got the right answer. So let's say you decide to change where your call to action is on the page, or add a new call to action, or change the wording, or whatever it is. You want to be able to isolate that and test it to see if it makes a difference. So you can't be testing 50 different things at the same time, because you won't know what's caused the actual, you know, if there is a change, what's caused it. So you've got to say, what's the most important thing I need to know now? And that could be because it's the thing that's costing you the most money right now, either in wasted resources or in money that you're not making. Or it could be a tiny little fix that if you get it right, you can just take it off the list, you know, so you just want to do that. But you've got to prioritize, and you've got to say, I want to measure stuff that I'm, as you just said, I'm going to do something about, and not just stuff for the sake. They're all coming, and the next thing you know, they're leaving the site because it's not doing what they need. Then you haven't got any further. So I sound like a broken record, but it just keeps going back to, what is it you want? You need to know now based on your goals. It's unfortunate because it's not the most sexy thing. The other thing, you're talking about bounce rate. You know, it's so interesting. Google Analytics 4 actually it came out without bounce rate as a metric initially. And then it came back because everybody wanted it. But most of people like myself were actually quite happy that it had gone away, because it's really not necessarily, very rarely an actually useful metric. Because for two reasons. One is, you really actually want to know about engagement. I mean, there are always going to be visitors who bounce off of your site because they come there for the wrong reason. It's just the way it is. You don't need them. The quickest thing for all of us is to get rid of them, is to let them go, right? Mm-hmm. And then people obsess about the bounce rate. Mm-hmm. But what they don't obsess about is the people who are staying on the site but not converting, mm-hmm. right? So they showed some interest and then it fell apart. Why? That's surely more important.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And again, you got to think about what you're going to do with the data. I mean, my one client who's all upset that his bounce rate was so high, and it's like, it's supposed to be, you know? I mean, come on.
Right.
So, all right. I've gotten this question before. Oh, my web guy handles my analytics and sends me a report. Is that what the web guy should be doing? Mm-hmm. It always depends.
You know, in digital, there's actually a ton of different things. And so, for example, I don't do any web design. I'm useless at it, you know, and I can tell you when you need to have a web designer do something, but I can't do it. I don't want to do it. And it is a very different skill. And one of the things I actually love about analytics is to me, it's one of the few things where it's a huge blend of being a data geek and being very creative, which I really enjoy. Because obviously the first thing I have to do if I have a new client is to audit. You know, we want to make sure we're not doing garbage in, garbage out, right? So I have to audit the quality of the data being tracked and make sure that it's good. But once we know we've got good data, then you can get creative. I mean, and that's the point where you say, okay, oh, look, this isn't working, or this isn't giving us the results that we think we should get. Well, what are we going to do? And that's where you can start coming up with creative stuff. Like, I wonder what would happen if we did this. As I said, like, I wonder if what would happen if we thought about a new side business or a new product or a new target audience based on what we're seeing here. And of course, that's my favorite bit because, you know, the audit has to be done, but it's not exactly sexy. but, you know, it is very different skills, and analysts tend to be hard. A good analyst tend to be a little harder to find than most of the other digital marketing skills around, like, you know, SEO and creating advertising and content and doing design and so on.
Sometimes I find that good people in general are just hard to find, no matter what their specialty is. There's right. more of them out there in some of those categories. But again, I think the good ones are sometimes just so hard to find. Doesn't it feel like that? So, all right, let's talk a little bit about data privacy and analytics. I mean, we're headed in the United States here, we're headed into an election year, we're in an election year, so we're going to be inundated, and they love our data. They had problems with our data quite a few years ago, which is why Facebook locked down a lot of its targeting. But what, you know, should we be concerned about data privacy around data analytics, what we're using, what we're tracking? All
yeah,
stuff.
I mean, there is all that. And in Europe, certainly, you know, the GDPR is very strict. And in fact, at the beginning of March, Google is, so there's a thing called consent mode. So, you know, when you go onto a website and you get that banner that says, will you accept cookies? And Google is saying that essentially Google Ads won't work. Or I don't know if you won't be able to use it, but it certainly won't be optimal. Bidding and so on if you don't have that running. And at this point, any website, even if it's in the US, but if it has visitors from Europe who can give it data like signing up for something or buying something, then that's something that everybody should be looking at because it does apply. So, you know, there was this whole row. This is why Google Analytics 4 came out, because it is supposed to be more privacy centric than it was. And honestly, you know, I'm talking to my colleagues, and some of us feel that we've really gone over the top with this stuff. So there's a difference between third party cookies, which are sort of track you, and target advertising and so on, and first party cookies, which are owned by the website, the business that places them on your browser, and which essentially also do a lot to enhance your experience on the site. So, you know, if you don't want to log in every single time you go to a website, you go to a lot, or if you want to be able to put things in a shopping cart, go away, think about it and come back and not have to start again, you know, that's cookies. So they're not all evil. and having the data that we're talking about here allows us to make our websites more user-friendly. So yeah, we want to make money, but we also make money by making the experience better for visitors. And so, you know, Facebook algorithms are, as we know, have the ability to figure stuff out about us based not on what we say or anything that we put in our posts, but I don't know how they do it, and it's kind of uncanny. And you know, is that being protected against? I'm not sure. So I, you know, I do think, and I'm maybe sticking my neck out here, but I do think there are some things that we're getting a little too paranoid about and some other things that we're not paranoid enough about.
But yeah, no, I agree with that. And I think, you know, some of the stuff with Facebook or Meta is when they're targeting, they're using their own data and not giving me access to it, but serving up ads that I think are more relevant to me, right? Or to you, mm-hmm. if you're in my target audience. Because again, they're trying to make more money and have more success with ads. And I'm one of those people that I'm like, yes, allow cookies on everything because I want the experience. I have a friend, he's a French expat. He's been to the United States. I think he's lived here like four different times. And we used to talk about going shopping at the grocery store. And he doesn't have the little shopper card or whatever, the number that you type in to say that you're a loyal shopper and get the discounts, because he doesn't want them to know what he's buying. And he's very, very private. Whereas I'm like, they send me coupons for free eggs. I would like my free eggs. And so we had this whole big discussion on free eggs, and I sent him a picture of my coupon one day. But but there is a lot of value, and some of it can save you money. It can save you time. You know, there's more to it. And I like personalized advertising and communications and experiences. But to do that, you need to give people permission to know what you like and do.
Right. And you know, according to GDPR, you are entitled to ask Facebook what they know about you. And you are entitled to request that they delete that data. I don't know how many people actually do that. You know,
I haven't done that yet. But I should say, Facebook, what do you know about me? I don't think I'm
But another important thing for people to understand, I assume people, is that because people do reject cookies, when you're looking at analytics, you're not looking at actual sort of auditable numbers of how many visitors you get. It's not that. It's at least some of your visitors are not being tracked. Actual numbers, you know, we got exactly this number of visitors in this period, because that you can't know that.
Yeah, no, that's a really good thing to keep in mind. So I think what's really important is that you have to be looking at your analytics. You have to be looking at your numbers. You have to be looking at the flow. Recently, I made a big mistake. I was sick. I had these ads running. The highest performing ad went to the wrong landing page that was out of date, and nobody got notification of the thing that they signed up for. Well, they did, but it was for July of 2023. So that didn't really help them in January of 2024. So not looking at your analytics, not looking to see how things are flowing, you can lose a lot of time, effort, and money. And I think it's really important. And if you don't know what you're looking at, or you're sick and under the weather like I was, and you're not looking at it yourself, you need to be working with somebody that can do that. So thank you. And again, someone that can help you interpret what needs to be interpreted towards your goals. Your goals, right. Not anybody else's, but yours, right? And I think, again, there's a strategy behind it, and that's really important. So Filippa, before I let you go, there's a question that I ask everybody. And that's because this show is called Imperfect Marketing. Mm-hmm. Marketing is anything but a perfect science, hence the it depends answer, right? So what has been your biggest marketing lesson learned?
Oh, you know, one thing, I mean, we've been talking a lot about strategy. And I mean, I'm a strategic consultant, so I do analytics, but then of course that goes back to what strategies should we adopt. And sometimes, and hopefully it's better if it happens earlier in the website development stage, so that we can talk about, you know, how is this website really going to deliver this strategy? So, you know, it's perfectly possible to have a lovely strategic plan, and a whole marketing plan and the whole thing, and you really think you've nailed it. And in my experience, once you start getting actual visitors to the website, there's always surprises. People always do stuff that you never imagined or that you didn't expect, and they go down paths that you didn't expect. And so, you know, the best laid plans is definitely true.
Oh yeah, no, definitely. No matter what you do, somebody's going to find a way around it and use it a way you didn't intend, right? That's why all the Superman capes that they sell around Halloween all say does not allow wearer to fly. So people do that crazy stuff, right?
Right. Oh, don't dry your cat off in the microwave.
Yeah. So we'll have a link in the show notes, as always, and ways to get a hold of Filippa if you are interested in contacting her and learning more about how she can help your business and how she can help you better understand your analytics. I think that that's really important.
Yeah. Can I just mention? Yeah. So, you know, my goal is really to inspire business people to take closer look at the analytics. And just to very quickly mention, there should be a link to I have an ebook which has got five stories in English, no techie stuff, no graphs or charts, but just from my own experience, different types of businesses, B2B, B2C, things we discovered in the analytics that we wouldn't have otherwise known that allowed us to make a significant business change or a change on the website that had results. And it explains, you know, what we found and how you can look for it. So, you know, my goal is to inspire people to go, oh, maybe that's happening on my site and take a look. So please pick up the ebook if you'd like to.
Yeah, we'll definitely have a link to that in the show notes also, because again, it's so important. And if you don't understand what you can do with the analytics, you need to at least see the opportunity that exists or the lack of opportunity that you're experiencing because you're not looking, right?
Right.
It's hugely important. So thank you so much. We'll make sure we have a link to that again.
Thank you.
And for all of those of you listening and watching, if you learned something today, and I hope that you did, and I hope that Philippa inspired you to look and learn more about your analytics, it would really help me out if you would rate and subscribe wherever you're listening and watching. Until next time, have a great rest of your day. We'll see you on another episode of Imperfect Marketing.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Imperfect Marketing. Be sure to subscribe and visit KendraCorman.com/imperfectmarketing to view the show notes of all my podcast episodes. See you next week, same time, same place.